Yeah, so I was just so amazed this week by a story about a lady called Harriet Tubman. Have any one of you ever heard of her? Yeah. She lived a life she died when she was 93 years old. But she is very known, and I'm just going to share a little snippet of her life. She had so many things that she did. But especially in the area of slavery, where she actually freed a lot of slaves. But she was born in 1822. That's probably why you haven't heard of her. I haven't heard of her until in this week. And in 1849, Harriet Tubman made a decision to escape slavery. She was born into slavery. Her parents were slaves. And through a lot of suffering, she actually at once got into one of the slave masters through a lead piece of metal thing to try to hit a runaway slave, and it hit her against the head. And so she struggled with these constant migraines and pains, and also she had, they call it, she had these sleep fits, or she would fainting fits that she would fall over, and just in the midst, while she was working in the lands, but she had this thing like God has had for them for freedom, and that it is not right to be in this slavery. And so one day she made a decision that she is going to escape out of slavery. But this was a very serious thing, because if they catch you when you escape, then you were either killed or there was a lot of beating that's coming. And so, but she made this decision. And as she was one day working in the fields, she met this Quaker lady. Now, who of you know about the Quakers? They were quite a quaking group of people. But this lady came past, and then she told her about an underground railroad. And so she was so excited about this underground railroad that she knew that this is a ticket out. She is going to escape by this underground railroad. So one night, she got her brothers together, and they decided at last minute they don't want to go. But she said, I'm going to leave family away. Is it right even to choose between family and friend and freedom? And so she made the decision to escape. She ran to this Quaker lady who said if she ever wants to be free, she needs to come to her house, the house with the green shutters. So she arrives at this door of this lady. She welcomes her in. And she says, where is the underground railroad? She was looking at the floor and saying, where is this underground? And the lady told her, there is no underground railroad. And she was first, no, I need to go back. I need to go back. And then she told her, the underground railroad is just a term that they use of a network of friendly homes. So this is a way that they described that how these Quakers had these friendly homes where they would kind of be a home, a place where slaves could escape, but then they will provide a bed, they will provide instructions, and they will provide them to the next place that they need to run, and they need to escape at night. So Harriet went, and she escaped. She followed this lady's instructions all alone. Never had traveled this road before, but she prayed and asked God to help her. And she said, God told me to go. I set my face to the north and I walked. And the testimony of her freedom was how God protected her as she was walking. There were various opportunities where there were some of these slave catchers were searching for her. And there were moments where she could take a wrong turn, and that would mean that they would capture or kill her. She described these moments. She felt she should stop and hide, and later realized patrols were nearby. How the Holy Spirit was constantly helping her to freedom, helping her to find the next house. When she was afraid, she said, I pray to God to make me strong and believe believed, and he gave her strength for every step. Harriet didn't know the path, but she trusted God. The Holy Spirit guided her, protected her, and brought her out. Not only did she find freedom, But she also, God used her to go back through the underground trail or the railroad. She saved anything between 300 or 70 and 300 other slaves. Where she would travel this road back, and the story of her life is how she was like kind of leading these slaves into freedom. A famous quote about her is, when people said, "Harriet, you did this amazing thing," she said, "It was not me, it was the Lord. I always told them, I trust you. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I expect you to lead me." And he always did. Have you ever been in a place where you did not know where to go or what to do? Have you been in those places? This is not a, like, yes. Has any one of you been in that place? Yeah. Like you don't know what to do and you need somebody to help you. Huh? Now the disciples were also in this place where they needed help. Just imagine these 12 guys, now 11, because Judas already left the room. Judas has left the building. Okay. And these 11 guys are in this room. And last time I shared about where Jesus, these last moments, he says, love one another. And then he says, little children, I will have to leave. This is in John 13, verse 33. And they say, Peter said, but wait, where are you going, Lord? Let us go with you. And Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot go with me. Will you lay, verse 38, John 13, verse 38, will you lay down your life for me? Before the rooster cries, you will deny me three times. For 3 years, they walked with Jesus. He provided for them. He protected them. He saw the miracles. And now he's telling them, I'm going away. They're feeling rattled. They're feeling overwhelmed. And then John 14, verse 1, he comes to comfort them. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe God. Believe in me also. And then he has this conversation with them, and I want to jump into verse 16 of John 14, verse 16. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor know him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Their hearts were troubled, and Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you another helper. What's interesting about another is he's saying, I am the first helper, and I'm giving you another helper. And the word another, there are two Greek words that are used for another. The one means another of a different kind, or the second one is another of the same kind. And so the word that is used here is the word another of the same kind. I'm giving you another helper. I've been here, but I'm giving you another helper. Who is this helper? John 14, verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. This helper is not just a force. It's the third person of the Trinity. He is God. Another meaning of the same kind of Jesus, which was God, is like he is God. And he will be with you forever. This is how Jesus encourages his disciples. He says, I'm going away, and you can't come where I come, where I'm going. But I'm giving you a helper, the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that word helper. It's the word parakletos. One who helps. Another word for it's advocate or comfort. Someone on behalf of another. Paraclete literally means one who is called to stand beside for the purpose of helping. Holy Spirit has been called to stand next to us for the purpose of helping us. Holy Spirit is here to help. Will you take that help? Do you live your life in a sense that you are dependent upon Him leading and being the one that's alongside you and helping you? The problem is we are very bad in receiving help. In the old days, before it was Google Maps, our parents and their parents had real maps, paper maps. And they would sit, and there was a lot of family fights because of this. Like, Fro, we're driving this way. Can't you see this road goes there? These days, thank goodness for Google Maps that has saved us, our marriages, that we can just follow the blue line. But the problem is we are not very good in receiving help. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to be our helper. And He's coming. He says, can I help you? Will you be humble enough to say, yes, Lord, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I need you. How is He helping us? Okay. How is the Holy Spirit here to help us? I want to mention four things. He's with you, He's for you, He's in you, and He will come upon you. Okay, can you remember these four things? He is with you, He's for you, He's in you, and He will come upon you. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth, He leads us. He's with us to lead us. So He guides us. Three things under He's with you. He's with you to guide you, to ground you, and to grow you. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It is, He leads us in John 14, verse 17. He leads us into all truth. But you know Him because He lives with you. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for you. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He guides you into that which is true. Galatians 5 verse 16, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature crave. In Acts 8 verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. You know that song, Sweet Chariots? It's a very old song. This was one of the code songs they used in Harriet's life, which means get on the Underground Railroad. I'm coming for you. Get ready. And this is how she would signal people that she will be coming for them. She was known as Moses, the Moses of that time. Leading slaves into freedom. Acts 16, verse 6, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, Paul, he leads us, but he also resists us from going into things. So it's not just go, 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 go. It's sometimes wait and stop. And this is something that was seen in Harriet's life also, is there were times that she needed to wait until the raids would come past. There were times that she needs to go. Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He's with you to help you, to guide you when you need to make directional decisions. Do you ask Holy Spirit, help me, Lord, to choose my wife? Help me, Lord, where do I need to go? Help me, Lord, guide me how to raise my kids. Or are we walking? We'll find the end in our own strength and everything that we do. Or are we asking for help? He is here to guide you. Not only will He guide you into truth, but He will also ground you. But the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance all that I've said. Are you still awake? Are you here? So he grounds us by teaching us all things. He grounds us by bringing to remembrance even the things that we need to remember of who Jesus is. That's the Holy Spirit's work in you. Like that moment when you're going through something difficult and that scripture comes up to mind. It's the Holy Spirit that's working within us and reminding us, reminding us of Jesus. I want to encourage you this holiday, when you read your Bible, or for whenever, pray this prayer, Holy Spirit. Before you read the Bible, help me to grasp what I'm reading. Help me to see what you want to reveal to me through this. Why not just also pray, Holy Spirit, help me to see how I can apply this in my life. He's there to help you. And there, he's there to grow you. Okay. I'm going to read a few qualities that the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, if you need help in any one of these that I'm going to mention, just put up your hand. If you need help in more than one, just do this. Okay. All right. So I'm going to read them in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Don't be prideful here now. Okay, let's start. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you need help in any of these, would you go? Holy Spirit is here to help us to grow, to become more like Jesus. Are you asking for help? Are you living your life like you do? So the first one, he is with you. The second one, he is for you. All right. So he's for you in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. He intercedes like you as somebody. Like Jesus is praying for you, but the Holy Spirit is interceding with groanings. And there are many times that I do not know what I should do or where I should go or what I should do. Then I pray in the Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. And He prays with me. He protects us. I've seen this like visibly in when I do deliverance. In Zambia, we had a situation, or not situation, but one lady came to me and she said, Maurice, I want to tell you what I experienced from the other side when you guys prayed for me. She said, do you remember I wanted to hit you with my fist? And I said, yes, I got a fright that day because the fist came and stopped just in front of my face. I'm like, woo! And I had this nervous laughter and like, what? And she said, Maurice, I didn't tell you this, but what happened is like when I hit, it was like my fist was hitting a wall and it did not go further than that wall. The Holy Spirit, and I see this many times even in like this is now real battle things, like, but I see how the Holy Spirit protects us. And this is in deliverance, but how many times in your life have you seen how the Holy Spirit actually helped you and protected you? He is for you. Another way that He's for you is the advocate. Now, who of you know that the devil is the accuser? So he comes to accuse us. And he's the one that's standing alongside us and says, I know you repent. I'm for this one. I'm for this one. They've repented. They've come under the blood of Jesus. And he's for us in those moments when accusation has come. Like there was a time a while ago, I was feeling down. And I'm like, what is this? Have I done something or what's happening? And I'm just feeling this heaviness in my heart. And then I said, Lord. And he says, Maurice, you haven't done anything. I'm for you. This is just the enemy that wants to discourage you. And I could feel that thing lift off me. But I asked the helper to help me in that moment. He is in you. to comfort you. Who of you have needed comfort at some point of your life? He's the Paracletos, the one who comes alongside. When in deep sadness, he's the one that comes and comforts you. You've got a helper when things happen that is out of your control. He's there to comfort you. He strengthens you. Ephesians 3, verse 13. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He convicts us of sin in us. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is the very first work that the Holy Spirit does in your life. You cannot come out of your own. He convicts you of sin. And then he reveals Jesus. And then you make a decision to follow him. And this, in a few moments, I'm actually going to ask, if you're not here and you do not know Jesus, I want to give an opportunity so that you can actually give your life to Jesus. But he will be the one that is tugging on your heart even right now. He's the one that convicts you of sin. Or do you remember those moments when you think that thought that you shouldn't have thought? Or you say that thing that you shouldn't have said? Or you do that thing that you shouldn't have done? And then there's this feeling inside of you that say, ah, it's like, today's young people won't understand this, but when you tune in a radio, it makes if it's not onto channel, nah? Like they just press Spotify and it plays. In our days, it was this, you have to and you need to find the channel. And the Holy Spirit is that voice in us that tells us when we are missing it. You do that thing, you say that thing, and it's like, you are grieving me. He's the one that convicts us of sin. He's the one that enables us to say no to sin. And I'm saying a bunch of things, but I even don't have time to mention all the things and how he can help us. And then the last one, he is upon you. So he's with you, he's for you, he's in you, and he is upon you. Acts 1 verse 8 says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He enables us to witness and to share. So, I was feeling like as we go into this holiday, we won't have community as much as we used to. We won't have interaction with one another. But I want to say to you, you have a helper to be alongside you and to lead you into all truth, into that which is true. And that you would come back and celebrate. So like, I've read the scripture and the Holy Spirit has broken it up. Like, he's there to convict you when you sit too much with your phone. And what do you call it? Bench streaming or scrolling or doing watching shorts or and he was like and you I'll ignore this or when you say something to a loved one and they're like he's there to help us. Will you allow him to help you? I wonder how this would sound on the recordings. But anyway, I'm landing. All right. This is the moment where you go, okay, it's coming to an end. Another 15 minutes. Okay, now, all right, I've got 3 minutes to land this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. But I want to caution us, let us not grieve him. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grief means to causing sorrow or distress to the Spirit. The Spirit is not a force, it's a person. You can grieve the Holy Spirit when he's there to help you and he ignores his voice. And if you ignore it long enough, your heart will become hard and it will almost like you won't hear the anymore. Do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. Do not suppress or suffocate, hindering or extinguishing the active work of the influence of the Spirit in your life. Rather, receive him. John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And also yield to the Holy Spirit. We sometimes think that being filled with the Spirit is having this vessel, and we put water into this vessel, and that's what it means to be full of the Spirit. But I want you to picture a sailboat. And as a sailboat needs to position its sails to find the wind so that it can move where the wind blows into that sails. But there's a constant positioning ourselves in humility and dependency upon the Lord so that we can find where the Holy Spirit is leading us. The Lord used Harriet to lead many slaves into freedom. In many ways, we were slaves to sin. We were actually in slavery. And Jesus came and he gave his life for us. He died on that cross so that we can be set free. And he has given us a helper to help others to come free from slavery. So he's given, like the Lord was leading Harriet, he's also going to lead us if we allow him. Will you allow him to lead you?